You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. We now present the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan.
Welcome to the Catechism Hour with me, Brother Justin Bunyan of the Heralds of the Gospel, and today we are tackling the seven sacraments, those seven ways of God's grace, and we're going to be digging down into them. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to break into the other sacraments also. So, but today we're just going to treat over the top, kind of give us a primer on what the sacraments mean and what they do within the life of a Christian. Firstly, let's go back to original sin. Original sin was committed by our first parents. To remedy this fault, we needed something. We needed Jesus, our Lord. He comes and restores grace. Grace is the creative power of God in our lives and the lives of all mankind, without which there is no way for us to go to heaven. No way. By ourselves, without God's grace, we can never get to heaven. By our broken natures, it's impossible. And that's really important for us to look at, because if we don't look at that and we don't understand that, we have this sense of self-sufficiency. And it's delusional. We're blind. We're like a person who can neither feel nor see nor has no senses. And it's telling everyone what to do. But how can that person tell anyone what to do? How can that person choose a color if they cannot see it? A music if he cannot hear it? A texture if he cannot feel it? So we have this issue. So with the restoration of God's grace, good begins to come back. And people begin their true life of grace. Sacraments are the visible signs that of the effects of grace within our lives. And Jesus institutes each and every one of the sacraments. There is no sacrament that he does not institute. So let's go quickly over what are these sacraments. So we have baptism, we have communion, we have confession or reconciliation. We have marriage, we have holy orders, and we anointing of the sick. So, this is really important, because if we don't look at this point, then in truth, we are blind. So, why is it that we need this? Why do we need sacraments? Why don't we just get once saved, always saved? Why don't we just saved by the grace of Jesus, by the fact that he died on the cross for us? Why do we need these? All right, so let's step back. Look around if you're driving a car right now, or if you are in your home, or if you're in a public place. In your mind's eye, look around. Are there signs? Signs that tell us to stop. signs that tell us to go, signs that tell us there's a sale on, signs of danger. We live in a universe of signs, indicators. For example, the flag symbolizes your country. A heart may symbolize love. If I write on a board, car, that sign, those letters symbolize an automobile. The color red usually indicates something which is hot. Blue may indicate something that is cold. A skull and crossbones will tell me that something is poisonous. A red cross usually, sometimes, indicates first aid. The sacrament, or you may put it, the sacramental sign points towards the reality of grace conferred in that sacrament. That's important because when we dig into the sacraments, it isn't just some words that are said or a thing that is done. As I had one child say, baptism is just the opportunity to wash the baby with some nice water. I was like, okay, no. So sacraments are not magic tricks, nor are they a vending machine of salvation. The sacraments are a sacred ceremony through which our Lord Jesus Christ gives us, the recipient, his grace. And through these sacraments, it's always an opportunity to deepen our relationship with Christ and to participate more deeply in the mysteries of God. So, to sum it up, that's what sacraments are. Now, you may say, why? Because God knows what we're like and knows that we like things that are sensible. We like to feel things. So he used things which were symbolic on this earth and turned them in such a way that his grace could convey something very deep in our souls. So this is something that we'll be digging through in the next episode or so. And it's an opportunity for us to really relish the opportunity we have when we see a child being baptized or during the Easter's vigil, an adult being baptized or their first Holy Communions, confession that we receive, matrimony, when a sick is being anointed. These are all for us visible signs of God's grace. But we'll be back in a quick moment's time and we're going to go through the biblical roots of the sacraments, so we don't have that doubt that some old man with a pointy hat set these things in place. You'll be back in a quick moment's time.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan.
Welcome back. As promised, here are some of the biblical bases for the sacraments. And then from there, we're going to go through and explain each one in sequence without going into too much detail. I'll leave the detail for later on in following episodes to talk about these very points. Because first, we're going to go over softly, and then we're going to dig down. So firstly, baptism. We find the biblical background for baptism in Matthew chapter 1, verse 8, and Matthew 28, 18 to 19. The Eucharist, Matthew 26, 26 to 28. Mark 14, 22, 24. Luke 22, 19, 20. 1 Corinthians 11, 24, 26. The Sacrament of Confirmation, Matthew 3, 16 and 17, John 15, 26, Acts 8, 14 and 17, the Sacrament of Penance, John 20, 19, 23, Anointing of the Sick, Matthew 6, 13 and James 5, 14, Holy Orders, Luke 22, 19, Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 to 25. And lastly, matrimony, Matthew 19, 6, Mark 10, 9, and John 2, 1 to 11. Those are the biblical background, some of the, you might say, proof texts to help us in our discovery, in our search for the biblical basis of the sacraments. So let's go through what the sacraments do for us. Firstly, baptism. Baptism gives us the grace to live a holy life, makes us children of God, co-inheritors of the kingdom, takes away original sin, allows us to go to heaven. Confirmation gives us the grace to be strong in faith and loyal to Jesus as we journey to heaven. Makes us soldiers of Christ, pilgrims on this way to heaven. The Holy Eucharist gives us the grace to love Jesus with all our hearts and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's the pinnacle of the Christian life, as the Second Vatican Council tells us. It's the manna that came down from heaven, the food of angels. Penance gives us the grace to overcome our sinful desires and actions. It's the divine physician coming to our souls and curing our ailments. Anointing of the sick gives us the grace to accept the illnesses and to die a good death. It's resignation along our way. It's food. It's that food that will get us to where we need to be. And if it's God's will that we die, then God's will that we die. But at times it's known to cure people. Holy Orders gives priests the grace to live good lives dedicated to preaching the gospel and administering the sacraments. It gives them the ability to act in persona Christi so that they can hear our sins and on the altar give us the product of the sacrifice of the cross. And lastly, matrimony gives the husband and wife the grace of loving each other until death and of being good parents. That's pretty fascinating. But what are the sacraments? We've talked about the fact that the sacraments are signs. We've talked about that what they can do, but how did they come into being? Well, the sign of the sacrament is when we combine matter and form and effects and minister all together. Then you have the complete package, the who, what, where, and how of a sacrament. So firstly, let's look at baptism. Baptism is the pouring or the immersion in water while saying, and this is key, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose ordinary minister is a deacon, but it can be anyone with the intention to do what the church wants. Confirmation. The ordinary minister is a bishop, but he can delegate it to a priest. The bishop lays his hands on the person and anoints them with their charism while he says the words, be sealed in the gift of the Holy Spirit. The laying on of hands. If we go to the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles, you see the laying on of hands being extremely powerful. Holy Eucharist. Ordinary minister, priest. The gifts of bread and wine, over which the priest says, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood. Penance, the verbal confession of the sins to a priest, along with repentance, an intention for reparation, absolution from the priest who says, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Of course, the ordinary minister is the priest. Anointing of the sick. Anointing with oil of the sick while saying, through the holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up. Amen. Holy orders. Ordinary minister is a bishop. The bishop lays his hands on, followed by saying, we ask you, Almighty Father, to give these servants of yours the dignity of presbyterate. Renew the spirit of holiness within them, and by your divine gift may they attain the second order of hierarchy and exemplify right conduct in their lives. Of course, the first level would be diaconate. And in matrimony. This one I always love teaching because people always get it wrong. The priest is the witness. In that Trinitarian concept of love, husband, wife, and God, the stand-in for God in the matrimony is the priest. But the matter and form are the vows that are made to one another. And the vows of that are so important, it gives the husband and wife the grace of living together until death and being good parents. Of course, the two of them have to be Christians, have to have valid baptisms, without which there is no sacrament. So this is something really important when we look at the sacraments really quickly. You see that they are the steps of life. They're steps towards our end in heaven. That the sacrament, it brings us to a reality, a great reality, but takes us, shakes us out of this ordinary, banal life and brings us up to where we should be. Where is it that we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be images of God. He shared with us his life. He wants that love returned. And the more that we return it, the more we receive. You know, there's a beautiful prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And this prayer I normally type up and I give to my students. I give it to them usually in grade 5 and in grade 7. Because this prayer kind of helps them, particularly when we're studying our Catholic faith, to open their minds a little bit, and in some cases, stirs within them a sense of calling. So St. Ignatius gave it to his disciples, and I will share it with you now. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, all my will, all that I have, all that I possess. Lord, you have given all to me. Now I give it back to you. All is yours. Give me only your love and your grace. These are enough for me. The sacraments are so important and so neglected in our life today. For example, you might have noted in the sacrament of penance, the verbal confession of your sins is essential, but also repentance. If you go into the confessional and just go, I killed 12 people, I blew up a building, I did this, I did that, and there's no sense of repentance, truly I can tell you, there is no forgiveness. Because the forgiveness, though God is willing to forgive, we have to ask with a contrite and broken spirit. If there is no repentance, then truly there can be no forgiveness. We have to look at that. So let's look at, for example, Catechism of the Catholic Church, quote, paragraph 1128. The fruits of the sacraments also depend on the disposition of the ones who receive them. If you receive the sacrament but have no good disposition, the sacrament cannot do you any good. It will actually do you wrong. It will do you evil because it turns into a sacrilege. The sacraments have power within themselves. To give you an idea about that, you would have to look at a stop sign. And in this stop sign that has this power imbued by Christ, it says stop. And though you may have your foot on the accelerator, the car will stop, will impede your progress. From the works worked, from the very essence of the sacrament, it happens. And what's fascinating is no matter if the priest is in the state of grace or not, if he does what the church demands for him to do as a sacrament, the sacrament is present. No matter if the priest is the worst sinner in the world, if he says, I absolve you of your sins, the sin is gone. The worst person in the world who says, this is my body and this is my blood, the Eucharist truly is present. Though they have personal sins, God uses them to be a vehicle of grace for us. And that's really important when we look at the sacraments, because the sacraments are core to our faith. And they have been since the early church. So when we begin looking into the sacraments and we begin to dip our baby finger, baby toe into this pool, in this lake, into this ocean of grace, which are the sacraments, we need to open our minds, maybe reset our way of looking at the sacraments. Maybe our knowledge of the sacraments is a little impinged. It's a little bit lacking. It's a little bit simple. And I mean simple like this. If our knowledge of all things in the natural and the physical world ended at grade 2, I'm not sure our lives would be very successful. If our lives and knowledge ended at grade 7, likewise, our future would be pretty dim. But how is it that our faith and our faith life will end at grade 7 or at grade 2? How do we expect to be able to answer the mature and difficult questions which present themselves throughout our lives if our faith has not been given the opportunity to grow? Someone may oppose, say, well, it's a little difficult, a little boring, it's a little this, a little that. Well, school tends at times to be boring, but we still need it. We still need to learn. And years later, we'll be thankful for what we received. There's our problem. Our spiritual sloth gets in the way. Some people even go as far as saying, if I don't know, I can't be responsible. Unless we did have the opportunity to know, then it is our responsibility. So we need to deep dig in and learn This is our family treasure. This is the treasure of being made in the image and likeness of God. This is ours. We're co-inheritors of the kingdom. We must be like the Jewish people. When the law was being read to them with Ezra and Nehemiah, and they started to cry because they had figured what was lost by the infidelity of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. We too, there is much that is available, but much has been lost. Not on account of God, but on the account of our laziness. So let's ask Our Lady in a special way to bless us with all that we need so we can continue to delve in deep and to pull out those truths, both new and old, to bring us closer to Christ. So we're going to be going into another break, and then we'll continue our survey of the seven sacraments.
You are listening to the Catechism Hour here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, you can tweet us at Radio Maria Can or email catechismhour@radiomaria.ca.
Now, the sacraments were not something which Christ invents out of thin air. One of the points that we always see throughout the study of the Old Testament and its great revealing, revelation in the New Testament, is that cookie crumbs were always left. So we'll go through the sacraments and then pull up some of the biblical proof texts in the Old Testament to prove the reality of the New Testament. Firstly, baptism. Exodus 13 to 15. The Israelites cross the Red Sea. There are plenty of early fathers who talk about it being that Egypt was a land of sin, of bondage, of slavery to the devil, and the promised land is heaven. And we have to cross through the Red Sea, no matter how difficult it is. We have to go through the waters to be cleansed. The other one is from chapter 20 of Numbers. The water from the rock. A rock in the middle of a desert has no water. But Moses hits the rock with that staff that had been key for so many miracles. And water pours out, not a trickle, but a torrent that gives water to the people of Israel and to all of their livestock. Confession. Numbers 5:7, the public confession of sin. The Eucharist. And the Eucharist is interesting. We go from Genesis 14, where it has the story of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, the one without past, without future, king. King of what? King of Salem, of peace. King, where was Salem? Jerusalem. There's so many pieces. He offers on behalf of Abraham after his victory. What does he offer? Bread and wine. No other prophet had offered that. So it's Melchizedek is an order, is a person outside of time. Fascinating. Exodus 16, man in the desert. They're hungry. They're given the bread of angels. 40 years in the desert, and it only stops once they have eaten the produce of the promised land. And then in Genesis 12, talking about the Passover. Confirmation. Confirmation, Genesis 1:2 and chapter 2:7. We see the power of God over the waters. Joel chapter 2:28-29, the power of the Holy Spirit on earth. Do we understand the power of the Spirit in our lives, in our world? The creative power which wants to help us and bring us closer to himself. Holy orders. Exodus 28:1, the establishment of the priests of Levi. Again, the role of Melchizedek, a priesthood, a royal priesthood. Leviticus chapter 9, how to offer sacrifices. The ritual element of religion is very important, and God himself instructs the chosen people on how to offer a proper sacrifice. So those who say that we want no ritual, they're throwing in the face of God himself, but that Jesus himself used the Jewish rituals. And at the Last Supper, he again uses the rituals, and he institutes new ones. So we see Leviticus 10:11, the teaching authority of priesthood. In Numbers 18, other elements that are necessarily prevalent amongst the priests. And we have the call of the Davidic line in Psalm 110, verse 4, how the Messiah would be of a royal priesthood. Matrimony. The book of Hosea, calling for faithfulness because of unfaithfulness of the people. And he constantly calling to mind the marriage bond, how important it is. The Song of Songs, the role of the church married to God, but also of the two married people and their love for one another. And lastly, anointing of the sick. Tobias chapter 11, 8. And 1 Kings 16, 13. These are all really important for us to see in the old, a reflection which will bring us to the new. We are not one of those early Protestant, pseudo-Protestant groups who denies the Old Testament or comes up with even crazier ideas that the Old Testament has this old God who is cruel and mean. The New Testament has a nice God. If we say that, we are no better than a polytheist. But truly, the Father had one way of treating his people until the fullness of time in which Jesus was introduced. And the language changed. But the person didn't. So, the graces we receive through the sacraments, through sanctifying grace, are specified. So let's look at each sacrament again. You might say this is repetitious, but through repetition, it will help us renew the knowledge we have and to build on it so we can know better. So what does baptism truly give us? Baptism was given to us to help us live a holy life. We receive the virtues, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. We become part of the church and family of God. And that church, that mechanism, will give us guidance and support in our lives. Confirmation. We are given the grace to be strong in faith and loyal to the Lord Jesus. We receive the outpouring of graces of the Holy Spirit and the grace to be soldiers of Christ. And those small seeds of the virtues, the cardinal virtues, are given a strengthening to let them bloom into cedars of Lebanon. The Eucharist, we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace to love Jesus in our own hearts and those of our neighbors. And to love our neighbor as ourselves, which is probably the most difficult of all the commands. We are united to that mystical body of Christ, which we were introduced into in the sacrament of baptism. And we are strengthened and nourished by the Eucharist. Penance. We are restored in sanctifying grace and given the grace to overcome our sins. For example, if we confess to lying, God will help us overcome the sin of lying, the vice of lying. Anointing of the sick. We are given the grace to suffer well and to die faithfully. We are united to Christ in his passion so that we can be united with Christ in his resurrection. What's interesting with this anointing of the sick is that the anointing of the sick is not the sacrament of the dead. Many a person, unless the person is in their death throes, do not call for the priest. But in reality, the person should call for the priest as soon as they have news of a grave illness. A grave illness. Or an older person. A person who can attain, can be touched by a grave illness. Because a sacrament of living, not of dying. It's a sacrament of healing, not of putting it to the tomb. And there's that problem we have many a time with us, is that our faith is tinged, unfortunately, many a time, with superstition. Don't call for the priest. We don't want him to die. What fool you are. It won't cause death. It might actually bring him back for you. Holy orders. Holy orders, of course, has three levels. Diaconate, priestly, and bishop. So diaconate would be the lowest form, and it's made up of two groups. One are those who are married men who are above the age of 40 and are trained to assist in parishes, 4 years of seminary, and they become deacons. Deacons come from Greek. It means servants. They serve the community. And they have certain responsibilities. They preach the word and they serve at Mass. They do not consecrate. They baptize. They marry. They do not hear confession. They cannot confect the Eucharist. So that's one group. The other one is transitional. These are young men who are in training and in seminary and are 6 months out from their actual ordination to become priests. So they are given the sacrament of diaconate to prepare them for their new ministry as priests. So Holy Orders gives the recipient, either the deacon, the priest, or the bishop, the grace to live a holy life and to administer the sacraments. They were also given the grace to live their promises of celibacy and obedience. Matrimony. Matrimony is important and is so important because we look through the Old Testament and God himself uses the language of matrimony to explain how his chosen people had gone astray. He talks about how far they had gone because of that. We have the story of Jeremiah. We have the story of Hosea, right? And which Jeremiah is told to marry the local harlot to symbolize the infidelity of his people. The spouses are given the grace to love one another and to raise children in the faith by their teaching and example. Example is really important. The family is so important. It's the building block. It's the cell in which the whole society is born on. And when the society is sick, it's because the family is sick. So this is really important for us to look at. We are going to look at the sacraments more as we go forward. Remember, every sacrament is made up of matter and form and minister. So the minister is the who. Who confects it? The form is what is done, and matter is what is used. And if we understand that, then we look at a sacrament, we can understand it better. And the more we understand it, the more we dig into it, the more we may love it, and the more we may avail ourselves of the sacraments. The sacraments, some people may come to you and say, no, the sacraments are merely a sign. It's kind of like a symbol, kind of like an icon. And the reality is that it's so much more. The grace that comes through it is a grace of the Holy Spirit given to Jesus Christ. And it's different for each sacrament we receive. And if you don't believe me, you can go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1129 and 2003. So the two types of grace that we'll receive through each of the sacraments, and they're all different, and the graces are all different for different purposes, different positions we are in life. The two are sanctifying grace and sacramental grace. 1129. How is it that we gain these graces? How does a sacrament of baptism by pouring water on someone's head turn them into a child of God, take away original sin? It's because of who gave us the sacraments. And who gave us was Jesus Christ. And he gave it and gave to all of his sacraments that power of conferring grace by his supreme merits that he attained through his passion, death, and resurrection. 1115, 1127. So we need this point. We need to use our sacraments that we have, that were so beautifully given to us, and to make them alive. But not just alive in a sense of we park them in a corner, we put them in a cupboard, but we make them alive that they live within us and they burn within us and we want to share those graces. The grace of sanctifying grace, the grace of grace, the grace of grace, it justifies us. It makes us right with God. And that is given to us through the sacraments of baptism and penance. In the early church, it was known as the sacraments of the dead. One, which we were being born again through water, and the other, that our soul was dead through mortal sin. 1279 and 1446. So you see, the church invests so much within these sacraments. Mass is like a monstrance for the sacrament of the Eucharist. Before Patrick, St. Patrick, in the 4th century, what was common is that the sacrament of confession was part of the Mass. And we still see a relic of it within the liturgy of the Eucharist. When we confess our sins. Today it's more of a ritual, it's more of a prayer in which we say, but in the old days, that was the point, that each one publicly confessed their sins. You can imagine a few very difficult moments being within the church. But the sacraments are an exciting thing to look into, because if we understand our sacraments, if we understand where we need to be, and then truly, we can be Christians. Christians are those that live the life of Christ. And if we do not live the life of Christ, then indeed we'll have difficulties. Baptism, confession, the Eucharist. Eucharist being the summit of a Christian's life. But how do we act when we go to Mass on Sundays, or if we're able to every day? How do we treat the Eucharist? If we're Eucharistic ministers, do we understand that Christ is present in each fragment of the host as well as in the whole? He is as present in a crumb as he is in the whole. Or do we believe he's only symbolically present? And if so, we need to brush up. And we'll get there later on in this series. So, the seven sacraments. In this Eastertide is a good time for us to look deeper into the sacraments so that we can live them greater, to bring ourselves better to that point that we need to be as Christians, be alive with the grace of God, to avail ourselves of the sacraments, to be what we're not yet, but we wish to be. The sacraments, the word came from the Romans and the centurions, and it came because the early Christians noted that after they received baptism, they were different. They were new creation, as Paul would tell them. And they said the word sacramentum was the oath that they made as a centurion, as a legionary. And once they made that oath, they were never the same. They could never backtrack. It implanted character on them. They were now soldiers of the empire. And they said the same thing happened with their souls. So the word became what we still carry till today with sacrament. The sacrament imposes quality upon us, makes us children of God, and with that gives us supreme responsibilities. So let's ask Queen of the Sacraments, ask Our Lady to guide, protect us, and bring us to our heavenly home. And if we need to go to the tribunal of justice before we reach that point, then avail ourselves of it as soon as possible. But the sacraments are not something to be looked upon at a distance and forgotten. Or a sacrament to be forgotten until it's too late. They're a sacrament, they're manna in the desert. They are to get us to the end. As Tolkien says in his Lord of the Rings, it's Lama's bread. It's the bread that will make us reach our end. And our end is heaven. So I ask, and we all ask, that the grace of God come into our hearts and that the seven sacraments will rekindle in us, no matter how old we are, to give us a lively interest. As we dig in our next show, on the sacrament of baptism. And then from there, we move out. So may God bless us all. Until next time, God bless.
You've been listening to the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.